Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins. All right, so it is 2020, which is crazy. And I know it's past the January hump of all that we usually think when it comes to resolutions and doing all these resolutions and what that looks like. And maybe some of you are listening and you're like, oh, my goals and resolutions are already cut short. And, you know, fear not, we're not going to be talking about dieting or anything like that. But we are going to be talking about developing plans for leadership in your church and what that looks like. So, yes, I know this might be a little bit late, but hey, it's better to start now than in April, May, or June. So that's what we wanted to talk about today, what it looks like and how to develop a plan for leadership development in your church for 2020. So Todd, you are the leadership guy. What are your thoughts?
Oh man. Okay. So first of all, I would say, whatever it is that you're doing from a leadership development standpoint, you want to make sure what?
Just stop it. Whatever you're doing, just stop it.
Whatever you're doing, stop it.
And listen to what Todd's going to say.
The problem is some people haven't started yet. So
that's
part of it. No, I would say whatever you're going to do, make sure it aligns with your vision and values. Whatever you're doing, you're wanting to make sure that you're further embedding that whole idea of development throughout the culture. So that democratization of development. Development is for everybody, both personally, you should practice that, and then you should also, you know, be working with others wherever you are in the pipeline. So I know you all might get tired of me saying it, but the fruit of a volunteer is another volunteer. The fruit of a leader is another leader. But they're not going to develop if you don't have clarity. So the number one thing I would say is it is important to have that clarity on where you're going and where you're taking people. We hear all the time about people saying, oh, it has to be organic. And I think those are just people that don't want to go through the hard work of planning, or they're naturally more given to being shepherds than stewards, and they think that, it is totally relational. And I would say, yes, it very much is relational, but, people say it's more caught than taught, all those things, but you can even, it's a level of intentionality to say, these are the things that I'm going to make sure they catch. If you don't even have that in place, I think you're in trouble.
Yeah, so there's definitely the importance of the analysis side of things, right? Where we're thinking about, okay, what is the plan? Or not even if there is a plan or not, because if there is, you'll know that there is a plan. But if there isn't, everyone's doing leadership development in some sense of fashion, right? So you may have some people in your culture where it's on your team where they're doing more of an apprenticeship model, another where it's more of a classroom model. And there's a lot of ways that people are approaching it. And we approach leadership the way that we have been developed. And in the majority of churches, yeah, it's going to be just kind of ad hoc along the way. But when you think about ways to roll out a plan for leadership development that's a little bit more systematized, you can go one of two ways. And this is how we've seen it in churches. On the one hand, you go full department specific, department focused. So everything is in the youth ministry, they take care of developing leaders for the youth ministry. In kids ministry, they do their thing. Adults, you know, so everyone's doing their own thing because it's their volunteers. That's the typical approach, and the smaller your church is, that's typically what you would do as well. And then what ends up happening is the larger you get and the more you listen to all the stuff that we've talked about on Leadership Pipeline. And you know what's fascinating, Todd? I was looking at this yesterday. Of all the podcasts that we have released on new churches, I mean, there is the Five Leadership Questions podcast, but of all the podcast episodes that we've released on new churches, the leadership pipeline related ones are the most downloaded.
As they should be, Daniel.
So you can, we'll link that up, and it's, you can just look up Leadership Pipeline on New Churches as well. And there's a ton more on the Five Leadership Questions podcast. But all that to say, as you get bigger, you're like, okay, well, I listen to this. I'm looking at Ministry Grid, and okay, I get the idea of core competencies. I get the idea of role-specific, ministry-specific skills, the 60 to 70% rule around all of that, right? So we've talked about this ton. And if you are tuning in for the very first time, we'll make sure to put some links into Ministry Grid and into our free courses on Ministry Grid that talk about leadership pipeline. So you get what we're all talking about with core competencies. But what ends up happening is the larger you get, the more you begin thinking, oh, we better centralize this. Oh, we're doing a lot of, you know, everyone's kind of doing this training. Oh, we better take that in. And then we do the central training, and then we send this out. And then what ends up happening is you then have more and more classes, more and more classes, more and more training times that you end up asking everyone in your church to come to. So now they have relationships in their department. Then they have central, where you might have some other pastor training them, and the volunteers are like, yeah, but I this is kind of super generalized. It doesn't really matter for me. And you just kind of, it rolls into becoming incredibly programmatic. And that is typically the cycle that ends up happening, right?
Totally.
Yeah. So
as well as the fact, I'll let you keep going in one moment. I just want people to also remember the 80-20 rule, in that 20% of the people in your church are serving, and research shows they are serving 2.67 times. So they're attending your training, but they're also attending the training from those other two to three areas, and there's overlap, there's confusion, there's frustration because of that. I mean, what you're talking about is the increasing complexity as things grow.
Yeah. And so, Todd, why don't you share with our listeners then what the dream is for tomorrow? Because we often talk about this when we do our coaching and consulting. And the best example is when you bring up job descriptions and or applications, and how many a church ends up having the more you go along that road. So what's that dream when it comes to a leadership development plan, regardless of where people are at? And why do we talk about one application and the template around the job description?
Well, you know, it's funny. I had a conversation yesterday with actually mutual friends of ours, Stephen Earp, who he's bringing his crew to a Tulsa pipeline. And he's like, should I bring my admin? And I was like, yes, absolutely bring your admin. Because when you get to the systems portion of pipeline, that is administratively heavy, because that's the systems and processes and all this. And, you know, you mentioned programs. We don't sometimes think of programs as systems, but sometimes they become they really do become a part of your system. So anyway, when you get to that point is when the wheels fall off. Everybody's on board with, you know, the story of the gospel and making disciples who make disciples. People can see pipeline strategy and they say, oh, I'm on board with this strategy. This is clear. I can provide clarity to all my people and it's clear for me. And then you get into structure, and that becomes a little more difficult. But you're right, Daniel. It is the systems piece. And here's why. Because all those ministries have become siloed. They do have their own application process. So I can remember when we hit either three or five campuses at McLean, that's when I figured out we had a problem with applications. And then I said, well, how many applications do we have? And it was 26 when I stopped. Now, McLean's a big church and all that, but it's, you know, we have that same issue across the different ministries within a church. Yeah. So what you will find is redundancy. What you'll find is different data repositories. What you'll find is different applications. What you'll find is different role profiles, if people have one. What you'll find is different expectations as far as the number of meetings, all of that. So what we are trying to do is provide people clarity. So getting down to one application with Addendums where necessary means that we can keep a repository, one data repository. It also means that when a person moves horizontally across the church or organization, that you can say, oh, here is that person's application. Here's how they came to know Jesus. Here is their story. Here is their, you know, whatever. You've got it. You don't have to ask them to fill it out again. The other big piece I would say is that role description and having the same template all the way down, up and down the organization. So,
that's right.
You know, we've consulted really big churches that don't even have role descriptions for their staff, believe it or not, let alone their volunteers. But when you can get that all in one template, what you have is clarity on your leadership pipeline. Because in each example, if I have, this is a volunteer in my student ministry, and this is a volunteer in the small groups ministry or an usher, the core competencies of all of those people are the same. They don't need that training again. And we can say all of our volunteers have been trained on this subject, whether that is abuse prevention and response, something that serious, or it is a values-based competency of people matter to God and us at FBC, you know, wherever. Mm-hmm. That stuff is super important. But more importantly, that person has a clear understanding of what you're asking them to do. Included in that should be the role-based competencies. Yes, this is an usher versus another area of ministry, but also requirements. Also things like meeting cadence. So, oh, I know that I'm going to have one meeting a month. Also things like the expectation of reproduction, of reproducing yourself. And so, you know, yeah, all those things, people don't know unless you're clear. You think you're clear with them, but if you want a good example, if you want a good exercise to do this week, talk to one or two of your leaders and ask them where they feel you're being unclear with them in expectations or information. Yeah. And it will be the best use of your time the entire week. I can guarantee you're going to have insights on stuff that you thought you were crystal clear on. And they're like, I didn't know that. Nobody's ever said that before. And you can't just say, well, you can't get mad at them and say, well, we talked about this. No, you're obviously not doing it right. If most of your people aren't getting it.
Yeah. So that's huge. And you definitely painted that picture from a practical standpoint, right? From a,
right.
Hey, this is what every day is going to look like when you get there. But this is not a silver bullet, right? I mean, you can't just start there. You can't start there. That's the end result. What starts, where you need to start is that equipping culture, is developing that equipping culture and setting that idea and that expectation that across all departments and in your whole church, 60 to 70% of what makes a leader effective at every level is the same. The youth leader, your youth leaders and your children's leaders, it's not 100% different in terms of how you develop and train them. 60 to 70% is the same. And that's a lot of the training that is then, we'll put in the show notes, that we do in our Leadership Pipeline Consulting. And there's that free course on Ministry Grid for that. So when we think about all of this, right, I would say, at the beginning, we talked about this idea of churches saying, hey, departmentally, this is where they start. And then as a church grows and as this rolls out, it's like, oh, yeah, 60 to 70% is the same. So let's bring everything central. The issue, though, is if you put yourself in the shoes of your volunteer and your leader, they then have multiple people that they're interfacing with. And the larger your church is, the larger your staff is, the harder it is for your volunteers, because who do they have the relationship with? Who do they have that trust with? So what I'd say, and obviously this isn't, all the solutions are not going to be found in 15 minutes, but what I'd say is make sure that the primary relationship is with that department. For your volunteers and leaders, the primary relationships should be with those that they are serving alongside and serving with. In terms of the 60 to 70% centralized training, all that can be done online. All that can be done online. while the accountability and the relationships are within the department. The only reason most churches end up centralizing and then multiple relationships end up happening is because most churches aren't using a technological solution where people can do the training anytime and anywhere. Most churches are saying, well, oh yeah, we do need to do all that. So let's do another class, or let's do this class, let's do that class. And that's just in today's day and age where people aren't even coming to church once a week, or not even once a week, hopefully maybe even two or three times a month. I mean, it's just, we're living in a different world. So that's why you need to look at solutions, technological solutions, like a ministry grid.
And it's not even as effective. So I want you guys to think about two scenarios. One scenario is, as Daniel was talking about, I have this central or core thing. 67% of everything is transferable anyway, so I'm going to bring everybody to these, you know, main classes. This is your 101 volunteer class, and we're going to have it every Sunday at this time. So we gather a bunch of people in a room, and we teach that course for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. That person, you know, walks away. They've heard it from you, man. They've heard it from the person who knows it better than anybody. That's one scenario. The second scenario is you do it online. And the three points that I made in that 45 minutes, I bust those up and distill them down into, you know, 8-minute increments, and I deliver those online. So now what happens is they process that information with another volunteer or another leader in that ministry area. So they're doing that with somebody who's already engaged and involved in your culture. People are carriers of culture, by the way. Programs don't do that. People do that. And so it's transferred by people, not paper.
Yeah.
So the big thing that understand there is, then it's not only do I get that larger issue or that larger competency taken care of, it is now contextualized into that ministry. So if it's a values-based competency, or if it's one about conflict or whatever, it is now contextualized to my children's ministry or my student ministry. And that person now has another person to go to should any problems arise. They don't go to the pastor. They don't go to that sage on the stage. Mm-hmm. They're going to go to that other seasoned volunteer. Is it as good as if they all came to you? Maybe, maybe not. Actually, they may know the ministry better than you do, even though you're over that ministry, P.S. Yeah. But what you have done is your number one job of giving the ministry away. And two, you cannot possibly serve all those people a la Moses and Jethro.
Yes, yes. So as you can tell, I mean, everything that we've been talking about is that 8+ hour leadership pipeline seminar that we do, plus all the custom stuff that we've done for churches. I mean, a lot of that is from that, everything that we've been talking about. Yet it's 18 minutes in, and we can't really go any
longer.
This
is a long one.
Yes, it is a long one. So there you go. Hey, here's the thing. I know not everyone can make a physical coaching and consulting time, but if you have a particular question around this or a follow-up, just send it in. Just send it in.
Totally.
Speakpipe.com/newchurches. Speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and we would love to answer your question. All right. We'll catch you next time.